Resurrection Day. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is? My wife said, what are you going to do? She says, what are you going to cover in Sunday school class after what I've been doing? I've been preaching on Wednesday nights about charity for what, 5 weeks? 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and I still have a couple weeks left as we look at different things about charity. And I just think it's appropriate for the day we celebrate the empty tomb that we think about charity. Because the empty tomb, not just the cross, because if Jesus had gone to the cross and paid the price for our sin and died, if we have hope in this life, only we are above all men most. The cross paid the price. The empty tomb gives us the victory. Amen? Without the empty tomb, there's no salvation. It's a work situation. I don't know about you, but I don't want a salvation that took care of, the sins that are past. Because maybe you don't, but if you have to ask me about every thought I have every day, every word ever spoken, every action of my hands and feet, I sin. Still, I'm not a sinner who sins, I'm a saint who sins, because I've been declared righteous by God through the shed blood and the empty tomb. Amen? And because of that, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. You hear this morning, you're saved. You've been born again into His family. That's a blood relationship. But this one's, it's an eternal blood relationship. And you can't get unborn again. Amen? So, even though we're going to be looking at charity this morning, because that's what all the Sunday school classes are going to be doing this morning, I want you to realize that charity is the love of God. It's not possible to have it without Christ being in your heart. It's not possible to have it in your life without accepting Him, because the love of God is a gift, isn't it? I don't know about you, but there's nothing about me that deserves God's love. But He still loves me. And I pray almost every day, God, You know me. You're holy and I am not. You're righteous, I am not. You're pure and I am not. You're perfect in all Your ways and I am not. And Lord, if that's all You were, that'd be enough. But it wouldn't do any good for me. You're also the God of all grace, the source of all real love, and first and foremost, a God of mercy. And because of that, and because of the day we celebrate today, we can have the love of God in our lives to show and to give to others that they might come to know Him. Amen? We were on the street corners yesterday in Oswego. First time that it wasn't raining, and we went there, okay? And it stopped raining about 10 o'clock. Someone called Pastor Kenny and said it's not raining here in Oswego. And so he was working here with the deacons, Michael Shelton, myself, Kevin Thomas II, and then Brianna and Molly and Dave Garrity were on the street corners in Oswego. We got to give out tracts. We got to sing of the love of Jesus. We got to preach about the resurrection. We got to preach about salvation. And gave out a bunch of tracts. There was nobody who was truly, there was people who turned them down, but nobody was truly rude or mean to me. I don't know how it was with Brianna and Molly. Okay, Molly standing next to me and it went pretty well, but I want you to understand, we had an opportunity to give out something that maybe they will think about. And we prayed over the tracts. We get all done. We come back over to the same side of the road as Kevin, because he was out in front of the bank, and Thomas II is the one who brought all the signs. And we get there, and he looks at me and he goes, preacher, it's going to start raining. You better pray. And as I'm praying, I felt drip, drip. And then we had to gather about the 30, because if you want to come, we have enough signs for about 30 people, okay? And we grabbed all the signs, and Kevin unlocked his car, and we put him in the car, and it started raining. So you know what that tells me? God wanted somebody on that corner who came by to hear about charity, to hear about the love of God. So this morning, I've already quoted the memory verse, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity." And he says it's the greatest. Now, if, I'm not going to preach my Wednesday night message over again, okay, because I went a lot into this. I love it here that they say charity is love in action. And what's the Legault definition of charity? God's love flowing through the believer to others. I've been saying that every Wednesday night for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And it's the greatest way to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. Their definition in the Sunday school notes, it's Christ in action. Amen to that? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, in for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." If that's true of you in your life, charity will be seen. I believe that every child of God should at some point in their life lead someone else to Jesus Christ. If you're telling them, you're going to do it by accident. Okay? You won't even know it's coming, and it will. If you try on purpose, you know it will happen. On purpose, eventually, someone is going to be there, and God will make sure there's a divine appointment. But you know, like this, you know what I can't do? Because outside of this book and my Savior, the thing I enjoy to do every year is the deer hunt. You know, I will never get a deer sitting in my living room. Okay? It just won't happen. They don't jump through the window, say, "Take me." I go out and I what? Seek them. And the Son of Man has come that he may seek and to save that which is lost. That's what it's about. You need to be willing to give out tracts. Ladies, if you're still, a lot of people pay stuff online. It's kind of hard unless you send a text online with a scripture verse. Okay? As I said, I think it was Wednesday night, I had opportunity to witness to a Muslim this past week, helping Michael. It was Monday. I can't remember. You get my age, days kind of blend together. All right, but we're going to get some chairs in Syracuse, and the guy who was selling them for his boss, I went to witness to him, and he goes, "I'm good, I'm a Muslim." You know what I said? Jesus can save Muslims. He goes, "Well, I believe in Jesus, just not like you." And I talked a little bit more, and he tells me, "You know what?" He says, I was a Protestant. I converted. And I figured he had because he had the prison tats. Because a lot of times they do that in prison so that they can be safe in prison. And I've witnessed and saw a man reject that again and come back to Christ when he understood the truth of it. Now, did he get saved? No, but he was nice. He took a track, and he says, "When we get to heaven, God will sort this out, won't he?" And I said, "If you're without Jesus, I'll be there, but you won't be." And he goes, "Have a good day. Enjoy the chairs." I don't know what God's going to do. I know Pastor Kenny's father. Bill was a good friend of mine, and when he took the church, he was the pastor in Colossae. About 7, 8 years, I believe, maybe longer, I can't remember. I know that when he had to resign the church, he wanted me to take that. And I said, "God hasn't called me out of Emmanuel." And I was the assistant here. They wanted me to come take that church. But he had a man who joined his church who was a farmer, who was plowing his field in the springtime. and someone had been given a check from the Colossus Church and thrown it out the window of his car, and it blew out in the middle of the field. And as the farmer was plowing his field, he saw this piece of paper, and he turned around. He didn't know what it was. Got down off the tractor, went and got the track. God smote his heart. He prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. He was in that church the whole time that Pastor Kenny was the pastor there, Pastor Kenny Sr. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't know what God's going to use. That man was Scottish, and he had a Scottish brogue. And when he read the King James Bible, that's the way it was supposed to sound. I love that. I can't remember his name, but I can remember him reading 1611 King James Bible. And I say this for this purpose. We can celebrate this day. I had somebody, Ben Brott, grew up in this church. He's ministering in a church out west. Calls me at different times, texts on my wife, wants to know how I'm doing, asks me to pray for certain things. Every time he comes home to visit Gloria, it's a couple times a year. I think he's out in Wyoming. Stopped by and visited. But you know what he sent me a picture of this morning? What is a tradition that I've had for years? He sends me a picture of a Cadbury egg when I don't have one and I didn't plan on eating one. I don't think that's fair. So this morning is Happy Resurrection Sunday. So turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and I will stop the quacking. There. That's family members sending me Happy Easter, Happy Resurrection Sunday over and over again. We're in 1 Corinthians 13. We've been in it so much, if you've been here on a Wednesday night, your Bible ought to open automatically to 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? In the first three verses, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Paul says he could speak every language on earth and heaven, and without charity, God's love in action or God's love flowing through the believer to another person, it would be just a bunch of banging and clanging noise. And no, I won't do that to you this morning, Shannon. Because when I read this passage the first time on a Wednesday night, I brought in two big pot covers and I slammed them together forgot to warn Joe, and I overdrove the sound system. Okay? You know what God's saying? If you're speaking and you don't have the love of Christ flowing through you, it's just a bunch of noise. Noise. I'll tell people sometimes your life is speaking so loud they can't hear your voice. Amen? But you know one thing that can be seen? The love of Christ. Every time it's offered, it can be seen. Just a bunch of noise. It wouldn't mean anything and it won't produce anything. And it will look hypocritical and cause confusion. Wouldn't it be annoying to you as you're trying to talk and you hear? All the time you're trying to talk, this noise is being made, right? Eventually, you know what? You wouldn't hear the words or what's being said, and you'd just be irritated. You know what we need, each of us needs? A heart willing to let the love of God flow through us to someone else. Paul knew everything. If Paul knew everything and had faith to remove mountains and didn't have charity towards others, it would be nothing. Jesus said in the Gospels, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed to another place, it's going to happen. When Judy and I pray because of her cancer, we claim faith in God's healing. And then we pray, God, we believe, help thou our unbelief. It says there, and have not charity, I am nothing. You know, a religious world would think that's something great, wouldn't they? But God doesn't. You can move mountains. When you study the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, a lot of doctrine in those books, but there were two of the most carnal churches that God used Paul to start. And you know what they did? They used spiritual gifts as a competition with each other. And when you do that, Pastor Kenny and I were kidding this week. Someone asked the question, and he says, well, Pastor Legault and I love each other. We're not competing. They asked, how does it work? They said, how does it work with your former pastor being your assistant? And he says, works great. We don't have any pride in the matter. It's not our church. It's God's church. We're trying to serve the Lord. Okay? You know how many times that doesn't happen? And I just look at Pastor Kenny when it comes up. He may ask me, and I say, not my monkey, not my circus, brother. What do you want me to do? You're the boss. Okay? He doesn't lord it over me. I never lord it over him. We talk about what's going on and what needs to be done. We talk on how we can help the people who come to us. That doesn't work without charity, one with another. Do you know that? It's not a competition. Back when I first got saved, you know, people were turning around and they turn around and you'd go to a pastor's meeting and they'd say, well, brother, how many professions of faith and baptisms have you had this year? God knows. Outside of that, I don't keep track. I keep track of how many times I'm reading through my Bible. Every time I read through it, I find out something that I didn't know before and shows me that I know less than I thought I knew the first time I read through it. Okay? Now it turns around and it says, if you were able to give everything you had to the poor and then give your body to be burned without charity, it would profit nothing. You would think it would mean something, but do you know one of the things that was used to get America involved in the Vietnam War? A Buddhist monk set himself on fire to draw a plight to what was taking place with the communists in Vietnam, when there was one Vietnam before there was North Vietnam and South Vietnam. That Buddhist monk died and is in hell today. It profited him nothing. His religion caused him to give his life. I don't know about you. I thank God my Savior gave his life for me. If he requires it of me, I pray that I have enough of charity in my life to be able to give it for him. You won't know until that moment, would you? People say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that, you know. I'll protect my wife to the end. That's why there's different times with the Coast Guard. They've had going to do a rescue, and the husband and the wife are going to be picked up, and the husband shoving the wife out of the way so we can get in first. Ladies, please don't stay, or I can't say that. You better stay if you have one. But if you're not married, find one who's not like that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Amen? If your motive for giving is not charity, then you'll get nothing out of it. Nothing from the Lord. If it's not done with the love of Christ, there will be no reward. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. So we're supposed to be working together, right? Ye are God's husband, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of the amount of it. No, it says of what? If every man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If every man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. I want you to know, that's the judgment seat of Christ. You know what God's concern? The quality of your service. Okay? The quality of your service. And if it's not done with the love of Christ, God says it's wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't amount to anything. Now, you ever raised a child? If you have, I don't care if it's yours, someone you're helping with, someone else, grandparents, whatever it might be. You ever have a kid who's obeying you because they have to? And they're doing it, and they're grumbling about it, and their heart is wrong in it. Well, my wife would always call that out. She'd get me every time. No. I'll do it. Okay. You ever have to tell a child, tell him you're sorry. Now, AJ was the most stubborn child. I won't. Michael, he would acquiesce faster. See, I'm being kind to my son this morning. He's listening. All right. But AJ, he was the stubborn. He was the strong-willed child. And he'd go, I'm not sorry. And he'd say, tell them you're sorry. I'm not sorry. You're going to be. And we would have a session of time out. See how I'm saying that nicely, Shannon? And he'd look, he'd go, I'm sorry. Doesn't count. Come here again. He was getting an attitude adjustment because he didn't mean it. His heart wasn't in it. That's the way it is with service of God. If you only do what your duty is, you're an unprofitable servant. It has to be done with charity. Has to be done with charity. The love of Christ. You know what? If you do it and you really don't want to, God can still bless it in this life. Okay? But there'll be no reward for it in heaven. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart, the attitude of how you serve him. Where's your heart with that? I've been a pastor a long time, and sometimes my heart has stunk. And I think it stunk before God. Did the right thing, said the right thing, with the wrong heart. Isn't it interesting that they've taken giving without real charity, the love of God flowing through you, and they reduce it to just one word, and they call it what? Charity. I don't want to receive charity. I don't need your charity. I need God's. I need it flowing through me. You know what it does? I have messages on faith promise giving, and I use funnels. And the bigger the funnel, the more water you can pour through it. And I tell you, you're not a vessel to hold on to that which God has given you. You're a vessel for God to pour it through you. And the more you let Him pour through you, the more you're cleaned by it. Because the greater the flow of the water through the vessel, the cleaner it gets. Running water is needed to keep your hands clean. Okay? Well, it's the same thing with the love of God flowing through you. If you keep it for yourself, that love goes stagnant. But the more it pours through you, the more it helps you plus the other people. And it tells us there in verses 4 through 7, 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long and is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity suffereth long. It's patience, willing to suffer and put up with others without complaining. Ladies, how many times have you put up with your husband and then whined about it? See, I already got the men once, didn't I? So it's your turn in the bucket. Right? You suffereth long, and then everybody knows about your suffering. How about kindness? Thoughtful, good, helpful? Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Putting the other person first? Isn't that an amazing concept? Let me see here. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ladies, if you have to put up with your husband, be kind to him. I want to tell you why. Because when you do that, you put him in the place where eventually God's going to kick the snot out of him because he deserves it. But it'll be in God's timing. That's the hard thing about that. It'll be in God's timing. Love them that hate you. Be kind to them that what? And spitefully treat you. In so doing, you'll dump what? Heaping coals of fire on their heads. Some of you ladies, you want them to have their hair singed. I just know you do, and I know they deserve it. I'm not picking on Lareth this morning, but maybe his hair got singed a lot. No. Kindness. Envieth not, is not jealous, doesn't have bad feelings because of what somebody else has. You ever complain because someone else has more than you do? They don't deserve it. How'd they get it? And let us not be desirous, this is Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't envy. Vaunteth not. You're not going to sit there and brag about you. It's to seek honor. Not puffed up, not full of pride and arrogancy. You don't want to think you're better than someone else. Say, each time I give you a few scripture verses with this, it says here, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing. What does it mean to let nothing? Don't let any of it. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. That means you don't act in a wrong way that draws attention to it that would embarrass someone else. You act properly, respectful, doesn't bring shame. Seeketh not her own, not selfish, doesn't insist on your own rights, but on others. Not easily provoked. I have to pray about that all the time. Not easily angered, not quick-tempered or touchy. I know how I am, and I pray about that every day. If your reaction, men, to your wife is a snide comment, I hope God slaps you upside the head. You understand me? And I say that in Christian love. I do. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. My Bible tells me, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, honoring the wife as the weaker vessel, and heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If your wife isn't made to feel special by you, then maybe she's married to somebody who belongs in special ed. Amen? You know how many times they've been hurt? Men are simple, women are complicated. You hurt them more. Guys go, oh, I'm so tough. You know what I've never seen girls do? Get together and go, let's play a game. Let's see who can hit the lightest. And you always get somebody, some guy, some kid, to go up and go, I can do that. And he touches you. And so then you nail him. And then you go, you win. That's a guy thing. It's not a girl thing. You say, I've never done that. Oh, you've wanted to. You're not touchy. Thinketh no evil, wishes bad the best for others in spite of them. And you refuse to dwell on things that'll draw you down. Rejoices not in iniquity. You know what that means? You're not happy when they fall or mess up. How many times in our flesh, the old man, when somebody messes up, you look at it and go, yeah, I knew they were that way. They got what they deserved. I don't want them to get it because I don't want me to get it. Amen? How can you let the love of God flow through you and then do that? Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Happy when God's word is proclaimed, when it's manifested, beareth all things. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so what? Fulfill the love of Christ, the love of God. Beareth all things, believeth all things. You know what that is? You believe in the right stuff. In the sense of what's good and what's best for them. Hopeth all things. Expecting the Bible to show itself true. Believing. I don't know about you. Judy and I this morning already prayed. Every morning we claim promises from the Psalms, and then we pray, and we end the prayers with, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because you know what we want? We want to hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and come up hither. Amen? Believeth all things. You can believe that when I surrender my will to His will, God's will is always better than my will. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. You're waiting for those promises. Endureth all things. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with. What are you standing against? Not another person. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. You're standing against the wiles of the devil and his minions. You got to endure it. You got to endure it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. 23rd Psalm. You know what that says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You have to go through it. Endureth all things. If you think you can avoid it, it doesn't happen. It rains on the just and the unjust. It hurts sometimes, doesn't it? It hurts with what happens to you. It hurts with what you lose. It hurts with who you lose. But you got to remember, He endured it all for me to help me let His love flow through me. Charity is not selfish. Charity puts God first. Charity puts others before yourself. Last verses of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Charity never faileth. We spent time on that. But whether there be prophecies, whether they shall fail. This is on a Wednesday night, not this morning. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and shall we shall prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, an adult, I put away what? The difference between a man and a boy is the price of his. Women are attracted to men. They have to put up with babies. I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am, also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity will never cease or if never fail. Charity is eternal because God's eternal. It's God's love. Paul's speaking here, and he says such things as prophecy and tongues and knowledge would someday be done away with and not needed. When that which is perfect has come is a reference, as we said on Wednesday nights, a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it tells us in verse 12 it will be face to face. Second John 1:12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy might be full. 3 John 14. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So I want you to understand, how am I interpreting face-to-face in 1 Corinthians 13 with how that phrase is being used elsewhere in the Bible. That's how you define things. Scripture with Scripture. So it's face-to-face. That which is perfect is come. Is my Savior coming back again? You looking for that day? You know, we can see things spiritually, but we don't see them crystal clear. We still have questions. We still operate by faith and hope right now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When a person's not living by faith, it can change the way you see things. In James chapter 1, verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. If you don't know what superfluity means, look it up. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. To engraft something means to put it into, doesn't it? You graft one tree into another. Engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a what? A glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When you forget what God saved you from, so many times you start going from God's righteousness to self-righteousness, and you look down your nose at someone else, and the charity stops flowing through you. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Okay? Things aren't crystal clear now. Walk by faith in obedience to God's word, and one day we'll see him face to face. One day all those questions will be answered. One day you won't be worrying about the knowledge, because you will know him and know yourself even as he is known. It was, I think, Shakespeare said, "To thine own self be true." I'm telling you right now, God's still changing me. I thank God I am not what I used to be, and I pray God that I don't stay who I am right now. He knows me from the beginning to the ending. One day, I'll know myself that way, because I'll be known in Him. You know, our Bible tells us that for the believer, we have the mind of Christ. So we can hear it. But how many times we don't? One day we're going to fully know ourselves the way God knows us, and we will know Him then. You know what I know? I know this. When I get to heaven, my salvation and what he gave is going to be that much more precious, because I'm going to have a full understanding of all that it cost him to save this wretched sinner. Our faith will be turned to sight, and our hope will be fulfilled, because it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to be with him face to face. Charity is therefore greater than faith and hope. Okay, before 1 Corinthians 13 starts, the last verse, after it gives the list of spiritual gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, healing, speaking in tongues, interpreting, it says in verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." The more excellent way than all the gifts that were given transitionally through the church for God to bless and to work in the Jews and in the church at different times, the more excellent way that goes through all the dispensation, through all the transition, is charity. It is the one gift. If you ask for a charitable heart and you really want it, God will give it to you. It's the one gift that everything else in your life should be centered around. Because if it's centered around the love of God's flowing through you, it will not be about you, and it will be about Him. And all God's people said, amen. You got an extra 5 minutes that I don't normally give you.